And you might want to open in your Bible to the book of Job for a moment. We were there last time. And in the process. And in our exercise, looking at God's providential management of all of his creation, that's what we've been doing. So to try to tie that together in the light of what we tried to share together. So now, and Job happens to be a fine example. When there is no Israel, there is no law, there's just humans. And humans are living in a world where Satan is the god of the world, in this world. That's a world of darkness. It never becomes light, not until the Lord comes. So you're always, us humans, are always in the domain of the devil himself. In the world system that leaves God out of the picture. And it's darkness. So, God wants us to be light in the darkness. And thus, in his management. And we share together, that like in Ecclesiastes, we did all these things last time. That time and chance happens to all of us, chapter 9, etc., 11 and 12. Time and chance. In other words, whatever happens, happens because it's in darkness, and darkness has no interest in light. And so all that's happening, think of a color chart, and we talk about things, but none of us in the darkness really know the color chart. We talk about things, but we don't really have the pieces because unbelief, 2 Corinthians 4, blinds our mind. So we don't see. And so we do things, but people that come to know the Lord as their Savior, they're still left in this world. And when they come to know the Lord as a Savior, that's an awesome thing. But you're still in the world of darkness, of time and chance and all the rest of it. It doesn't go away. The killings, the weather, everything. You live in it. You live in it. You try to wash your feet. 1 John 1:9. We wash our feet, but we walk in the dirt and the dust. So no matter how you do it, we're on planet Earth and we live in these bodies. Job is a grand example of a believer in the world, coping with the world, and God educating a man. Educating the world, educating the devil, educating the world, and educating Job. So, and we shared in Job, remember, that the devil asked permission, he had to have permission to go after Job, Job chapter 1, and in verse 12, he had to have permission. And he wanted to test him because God said, He was his servant. He feared God and hated evil. Chapter 1, verse 1. He feared God and hated evil. And so the devil tested him. And we shared in chapter 1, in one 24-hour day, 24 hours, one day, all of these things happened to him, one after another. And one report after his servants, his animals, his children, one after another, all got clobbered. And thus Job had to face the loss of all things around him except his wife, all things around him. Now, and so therefore, his response, which is the point, chapter 1 and verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, remember now, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, Job is going to be tested again, because the devil then isn't going to quit. And the darkness hates the light. It doesn't change. He hates the light. The devil does. The darkness does hate light. So therefore the Job asked again, chapter 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered, chapter 2, verse 2, Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, wholehearted, and a upright man, one that feareth God, and eschewish hateth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. In other words, I have no reason. I have no reason to go after him at all. But I'm doing it. I have a good plan. So therefore, he hasn't done anything wrong. Verse 4, Satan answered and said, the Lord said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, and so therefore the Lord gives permission to judge him, but the judgment, he can't kill him. Can't kill him. He could kill him, but he can't kill him. Therefore, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth and from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, from the head, from his toes to his head, boils. And that's like having hives or something like that. And you have it from your feet all the way to your head. That's something else, you know. Wow. Every place. And therefore Job took a potsherd to scrape himself with him, and he sat down among the ashes. In other words, he sat down to try to soothe and cover himself with anything and anything that would soothe the pain. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? And she said, if God's letting this all this happen to you, why don't you just curse God and die? Verse 9 and verse 10. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In other words, Job is going to be true all the way through. Now, us humans, God saves us. And Job, God, they have no reason. Job didn't do anything wrong that God should judge him. But God was letting all of it happen. A. B. It's an awful thing to go through what Job was going. And to find another human that has faced such a catastrophe in 2 days is awful hard. So therefore, chapter 3, now Job responded. Not responded, it's a human response. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He didn't curse God. He isn't talking about God. He's looking at the problems of life. And he cursed the day he was born. Why was I born? I'll keep reading it. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Wow. So therefore, what are we doing, God? We're looking, and Job says, it would be better for me if I was never born. Now that's looking at life. He's looking at things. Here's God. And Job's looking at what God allowed to happen, but Job isn't blaming God. He's in the world, and all of this happens to him, and God has allowed it to happen to him, and it would be better if I was never born than to have to face all this. So now, having said that, and his friends come along, because they don't understand. Who understands what's happening to your life? In my life at a given point. You and I have to go through it all by our lonesome. So in the process, and Psalm 25, 12, God will teach everyone in the way that he chooses. And everyone, we've said it all these years, everyone is different. Their background, how they think, how they maneuver, thoughts, work, home, school, they maneuver. That's what they do. They do that. So you have to understand God deals with each one in an awesome, wonderful way. Specialty. Each one's a specialty. So what God does over here, he may do it over here. He won't do it over here. You say, why not? God's dealing with each person in the way that he sees fit to raise them up. Hang on to that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so in chapter 3, he's going to curse God and his first birth. And all of his friends don't understand. They try to understand and they try to help him. So over to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, Job tells his friends that they're wrong in going and giving, telling Job all these different things. And therefore Job rebukes them. But in the process of rebuking them, he turns around and looks to God. And he in their presence, he says, chapter 13, verse 13, hold your peace. Let me alone. Let me alone that I may speak. And let come to me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? In other words, I'm going through all this. Here's all my friends and my loved ones telling me whatever and doing whatever. And they're telling me this. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Let me work through it. I'm going to get to God. I'm going to get to God. Next verse. Verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. In other words, I'm going to work it out with you, God. I don't understand it, but God, I'm going to work it out. That's what I'm going to do. And you got the idea. It's an awesome thing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, slide over now. He's told his friends, back off, back off. And he told God, God, I don't care what they say, I don't. God, you may kill me, but I'm going to hang in there and help me understand. Chapter 38. And in chapter 38, you will remember, God gives a great exercise. He gives Job an exam, as it were, one question after another that he can never answer. He gives him a quiz, and you flunk it. You can't answer one question I gave to you. Therefore, Job 38, then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. In other words, let's get with it. Let's really handle this, Job. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Before, therefore declare, if thou hast understanding. Well, Job, when before anything was going on, where were you, Job? Now tell me, what nothing we're going to say. And, verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it of all creation? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? In other words, the whole business of placing the little planet Earth in the middle of nowhere at the time, where were you, Job? And therefore, when you did all this, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, etc., etc., where were you, Job? Well, you weren't anywhere, Job. You weren't anywhere. Now, Job says, I'm going to hang in there. God, I need you. I'm going to hang in there. Even if you kill me, I'm going to hang in there. So therefore, and as that's happening, God says, he puts Job in the spot where Job doesn't have answers. He doesn't have any. He has to leave it all with God. Because we're humans, when we're all done, or dust. And in case we get to the morning, maybe, you have to understand we are dust. And it's interesting, us humans make such profound announcements about everything. And we learn many things, especially in these last days, electronically and otherwise. And we do all that. And we pronounce such powerful things about everything. And we're all dust. And all the kings and potents and the rulers and the brilliant scientists and the great thinkers have all died. All died. And not one human being lives. All human beings made such pronouncements. And we built the huge pyramids of Egypt, and we die. And we're trying to tell God how to be God. And you don't tell God how to be God. You just don't tell him. And Job has got the message. Therefore you go, as you know, chapter 40. And chapter 40, picking up if I can. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will not proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. He said that. Before I get real serious about this, Job, get real serious. Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare all unto me, etc., etc. And Job, he's getting the message. Chapter 42. So Job 42. And you will note, Job chapter 42. And Job answered. Then Job answered and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. God, I thought I understood you and your grace and your blessing. And now you've helped me to understand, God, who I am. I am nobody, just your creation. And I need to honor you as God, my God and Savior. Not my friend, human, no. You're my God. You're the only God. And I want to know you. It's your world, God, your management. You have to put it together. And you allowed the devil and the world system and men and women, of even my friends, you allowed the whole thing to turn or come against me that I might learn. I did hang in there, God. I hung in there so I could learn. And I did learn. I am humbled. And Job. And then what you, as you know, without reading anymore. And God did what? He then blessed him twice over. Everything was doubled. Because he learned his lesson. Now, with Job, that's a wonderful, we're in the world. And as we looked at providence and God's management, we shared together the what? Time and chance. We looked at Ecclesiastes and understood under the sun, us humans, if we leave God out of the picture, we never come up with any good answers. We never really get the pieces together. And someone told me, I didn't catch it, in Providence, I guess, they get a killing, more killings in Providence, Rhode Island. I don't know how many killed. And John was telling me in Australia, the Jews, people on the beach, Hanukkah or whatever it is, I don't know about this, so. And someone came and shot them all. That's the world we live in. I don't control the world. The devil does. But God controls me. And God manages how much bad can exist as we share together. Bad can only be so bad. And then Leviticus, the land that people live on, spits them up, and God changes the nation and takes one nation that's up and knocks it down and allows another to come up. That's our world history. Now, so having said that, and therefore, here we are on planet Earth, and exercise. Go over with me, please, and just trying to tie it together. And in the process, over to Philippians. And you will note, in Philippians and in chapter 1, and without doing it all but getting the idea across in chapter 1, what do we have? God's, remember, all the epistles are talking about helping us understand our relationship to God. They aren't about the world, they aren't about history, they're about how a believer is to understand their unique relationship to God. Now, so in Philippians chapter 1, being verse 6, being confident of this very thing. What are we confident, bold, comfortable? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until he's finished, the day of Jesus Christ. That's what you want to know. You come to know the Lord as your Savior, and God begins. He begins what he finishes in the world. You have the same body, you're going to get all the ills and aches and problems just like everybody else. You're going to get them. And you're going to face the same world. It gets clobbered in all kinds of different ways. And if you happen to be on the beach, I guess you could have got shot. If you're in the plane, I guess you could have got hurt. God knows. There was a plane just recently. I thought it was rather wonderful. And I didn't save it. Down south of us in one of the states down there, the plane crashed. Do you remember the plane crash? Plane crashed. Everyone got killed except one man. He was sitting in the seat, and then they interviewed the man. I said, I believe it's possible. I really do. I was in a plane crashed up in Over Hartford once, and the wheels wouldn't go down. I said, well, oh, well, if I get down, I'll have to go up. And, you know, so what can I tell you? So therefore, I thought that was so awesome. And the man was real quiet, showed his picture and said it. And all they know is the plane crashed and he didn't die. His seat there, and he stood right there. They stood right there. I said, I know you can do that, God, when you want to. But you have to want to. You have to want to do it. I've seen where people fall off a stool right here and break their shoulder and everything. Fall out the second story and they get a scratch. God knows. God knows that. Now, so here's Philippians. Philippians 2, 12, 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. So that's what you're going to do. You know God's going to be working in you. God's going to be doing what he's doing in your heart because God has taken over, and he's exercising his life in you. So God, your life, you're walking like Job down the corridor of time. You live in the house, the body, and everything. But God has chosen in his wonderful kindness to find his home in your heart. And so now what you're facing, he faces. And how you faced it is one thing. How he chooses to face it is another. It's another. How he wants. That's what, because God has a wonderful plan. Now you had before you got saved, you're just like everybody else. God has a wonderful plan that you never know. But when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, Ephesians 2:10, etc., that plan goes into effect. So now, as you get out of bed Monday morning, etc., it's different. It's your day, but it's his day. It's not only your day, it's his day. Ah, that's different. It changes everything. Changes the whole ball game, doesn't it? Now, hang on to that. If you can. Now, so therefore, as we've been, and we could go more in Philippians, but for time's sake, and in the process, so we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And we're to do so, well, we'll do that part. Philippians chapter 4. And Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful, stop worrying. Command, stop worrying. Careful, worry. Divide it up in mind. Don't worry, stop. That's just what it says. Stop doing it. Be for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, you have to work your life out, but God's working his life out in your life. And therefore, by prayer and supplication, remember what you're facing, he's facing. Now, how it's going to happen, whatever, it's up to God. It's up to God to work this out. Now, so therefore, with prayer and supplication, always with thanksgiving. Because God's what? God's going to do what he's going to do. And as long as you're looking for his will and yielded, Job was always yielded to listen to God in his struggle to come to grips with what was happening. That was a key for him to stay in there. It's going to hang in there. Now, so therefore, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, etc., which passes all understanding, will mount God in your heart. So we're going to go and look to God to outwork his wonderful will in his wonderful way. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? You can turn there just to chapter 8. All I'm doing is reviewing general stuff. It should just be there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. You know, the Spirit of God's, I won't even take time to read it. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to want to exercise God's will for your life. So you have to live the hour you're living in. But God now in you is going to outlive his life in you as you yield. You're yielding your hour, trying to get out of the refrigerator or do what you do. And you're yielding what you have to do to God, trusting God. You go to work, you go to school, you take your pills, you do whatever, you yield to God. You yield to God because you want God's will. God is going to be at work. After all, you're bought with a price, and God has a plan, his plan in your life. So therefore, God, you're going to have to do what you do. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to implement, verse 26, 27, 28, is to bring to pass, to make happen all that God has in mind and your yieldedness to God for that to happen. That's what he's looking for, that yieldedness, submission, subjection. God, I know you got a plan. I have to do this and do this and do this. And this is happening, but you have a plan. And so, God, you have to work out that plan in your way, and the Spirit of God's ministry. He's just going to do it. I don't ask him. I don't have to, please do it. I don't have to do that. That's God's will in your life and my life. That's what God's going to do. He just needs my cooperation. He needs my wonderful submission and cooperation. That's why we have God's word. to be intelligent a little better and not stupid in talking about God. And we don't spin prayer wheels and we don't do other things. No, sir. We have a Heavenly Father and we need to understand that in a wonderful way. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, the Spirit of God is going to do what he's going to do in the way he's going to do it. And we have to go and trust him with all our heart and all our mind as we do so. Now, so therefore, and problem. We have a problem because us humans, we learn and understand by just being in time, just about living, eating, drinking. And the longer we live, the more experience we have. So therefore, and what are we doing? We're always working with whatever knowledge we understand. Whatever knowledge we understand in the world in which we live. In other words, we're surviving your job, home, work, body, where you live, whatever country you live in, whatever other place in the world you live in. You're working with whatever the food, you're working with the culture, communist, China, whatever it is, Europe. You're working with it. You live with it. Here's the United States. And we live with it. And God, we have to do it. And we do it. But we're very ignorant. We're ignorant. We're ignorant of all that's happening and all that's taking place and all the decisions that are being made and trying to be made and those decisions that are being opposed and made the wrong way. And that's what you got all the problems in our day. And they aren't going to go away. They aren't going to go away because it's darkness. And men love darkness rather than light. It's not going to go away. The devil isn't quitting. And the darkness, no matter how wonderful God is in your life, the world is just the same. People are just the same. No matter how wonderful he is in your life, the world's the same. Never changed. So, and having said that and keeping that in mind, so what? We're ignorant. We just have only so much understanding. That's all we do in all kinds of ways, and you can illustrate it many ways, you know. Just think of the electronic world around you, and I told you that. Yeah, the electronic world. And who understands? Who understands through a wire, through space, transmission, through light. Using laser beam light for sound. Thousands and thousands of messages in a little light. Well, here's the wire. Here's the wire for your phone. Okay? You look at it. Thousands. Do you understand how all that is? Do you understand thousands and thousands and thousands of things happening right now from one little thing? No, we don't understand hardly anything. Even if you study a given computer science or whatever you want to do, you can understand nuclear physics, you can understand fusion, you understand a little bit, but there's thousands, zillions of things you don't understand, and you just keep using them. You don't understand them. You use them. You don't even question them. You thank God for them, but you sure don't understand them. That's for sure. That's for sure. Wow. So hang on to that. I jumped ahead. And if I forget, remind me in the morning, because I wanted to say that to you again. So hang on to that as we do our Christmas thing. Now, so here we are looking and we're ignorant. But, and keep in mind if you would, like we shared before, psychologically, etc. Einstein, yeah, I use that because I remember it. Einstein said, you know, all these things, you tell them to me. Einstein said we're going to use 2% of our brain. 2%. So there's 98% you don't even use. Remember, we did it in these studies. Here's the little island you're on. This is your life, little island. But the island is sitting on this foundation. This is the part you know, the iceberg. The iceberg sitting up here. Here's the iceberg. I can see it. What you can't see is the massive iceberg beneath it. You do not understand the 98% of you. You exercise 2%. I'll do it a different way. You use your eyes to see. True? And you're focusing. But while I focus, my whole eye is seeing everything. But my mind is just conscious here. You have everything going on in your head that you aren't even conscious of. And you're ignorant of it. And it's governing your life. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it. So, God, we understand a little bit, and the rest of us, that's why God wants, among other things, you died on the cross, and we thank God, and we walk in the light. But our sin, 1 John 1:8 and 10, remains. And that's why Leviticus, in Christ's death on the cross, being described, one of the things that Christ does is for the sin, whole chapter on ignorance, the sin of ignorance that you don't even know, Christ died for that. If he didn't die for that, you couldn't get saved. You couldn't get saved. He had to die for that, to save you. And we don't even know it. That's why God said you ought to be thankful. But I don't understand. What about the rest of you that ought to say thank you? They don't even know it. Got it? Anyway, no. So therefore, God, you let all these things happen to us. And so we see, but we don't see. We understand, but we don't understand. And if you were reading Matthew, can't even do that. In Matthew chapter 13, and that. Eyes to see, but you don't see. Ears to hear, but you don't hear. A mind to understand, but you don't understand. You got all the equipment, but you don't understand. You don't understand. So therefore, God, what are we doing? So the world around us is busy. Busy. Satan is busy. And we're busy. And therefore, we're trying to get a grips. Boy, do we need to trust you, God. When it comes to the thick and thin, we didn't even put the pieces together, God. We need to trust you with all our heart. That's what we need to do. That's for sure. And when we really think about it, isn't it good that God thinks about it? Isn't it good, Job, that you're struggling to understand and God all the time understands? And God all the time is putting the pieces together as we trust him. Otherwise, we're Christians, we go to church, and we study the Bible. All of that's wonderful. But if you don't come to grips with the relationship that is awesome, that's a whole nother ballgame. You see? So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, how busy, busy, busy the world. So God is going to do what he does in the way that he does it. So we're always to be understanding in God's thoughts and ways. Isaiah 55 are higher than the heavens. Well, his ways and his thoughts. So when we get all our thoughts, and God, thank you for your thoughts. So God has to work like the snowflakes. God has to work and do what he does. And his thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens, which is wonderful. So that God would help us in every way to understand in his management, God. So therefore, in a little, I was going to bring you a list. Well, start it anyway. We're jumping ahead time-wise. Just understand God's mercy and grace and God's ways and thoughts, and you realize you're before. If you were standing before the people that send the spaceships up and the people that designed the spaceship and built the spaceship, and they got all of that, and you stood there, you would have to understand, at least for most of us, we would have to understand, I see it, I may see it go up, I have no idea all the complication and all that makes it happen. And I'm very practical and real, and I understand I don't understand. I understand that I don't understand, and I'm looking to you, God. So now, having said that, therefore, in God's management, God can be offended, and we are offended by God. Our thinking, what we think and what God thinks and how God's going to act in a given time in your life. You think one way, God thinks another way. Don't be offended at that. God may not want to do it your way. It's his body. He has a plan for your life. That's a good one. So therefore, don't be offended. It's a problem. We get offended with God. And in the process of being offended, we turn God off. We turn away from God in unbelief, in ignorance, impatience, tradition. Yeah, tradition, this is what us humans do. And we do that. So don't be offended. And don't be blaming God for wrong. God didn't make the wrong. We chose to know good and evil. Adam and Eve did. And we're left with evil. So don't blame God. God died on the cross to fix it. So in the process, so God, and so don't blame God. People blame God. I remember Roy Rogers. You probably remember Roy Rogers. No one remembers Roy Rogers back years ago. And Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, his wife, etc. And I forget this horse's name. Anyway, in the process with Roy Rogers, he lost his son, his child. His child died, young baby died. And Roy Rogers shook his fist at God and said, "Oh, God," he blamed God. And I forget, I know the minister that talked to him. Hollywood Presbyterian Church. Anyway, talked to him. And Roy Rogers came to know the Lord as a Savior. And he changed his whole thing. He explained to him, the little child's death, you're trying to understand it from your little window. You need to see it from a big window. You see it? And Roy Rogers got saved. Dale Evans was saved. And their life, the rest of their life, publicly, they'd often say that. Often say it. Yeah. Different day. That's when people used to be saved. Remember, people used to be saved. The drunk got saved and changed his life and everything, fixed everything. And it was very public. We hardly have anything public anymore like that. Yeah, the dynamic of transition, yeah. So therefore, don't blame God. God does not need to explain anything. God does not need to justify anything. Don't be offended. Don't blame God. God doesn't have to explain anything. God doesn't have to justify anything. So you're learning to look to God and understand God. So you don't start like Job. Job isn't going to instruct God. Job just wants to understand why this is happening in his life, in his world. So don't blame God and God. Don't justify God. Do we have choir, George?
We're not having choir. We are not having choir.
Good. Okay, I'm gonna tell you. I gotta quit, but you got the idea. So God makes in his most wonderful works. God does what he does, and God made it possible for us to enjoy his wonderful, wonderful person. So we have to be yielded and back off. We can do among ourselves a whole lot of dumb things. But when it comes to God, hush and be still and look to God. Because it's a whole other ball game. I gotta quit. We keep going. I mean, it's just us, right? Just us. These keep sliding into my ear, and it sounds different. So, and I don't know why they slide. They never used to slide. I tried to explain to the people that sliding. And they said there's no reason for it to slide. But it slides. It didn't slide. God, it didn't slide. God said, now it is. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to keep pulling them out. Hey, that's what you're going to do. And you have to work through it. It's a silly thing, isn't it? It's very real, though. That's how God helps us learn. Because I'm looking at God to understand. I do everything. It's still there. God allows it. And you say, thank you. Thank you. I gotta quit. Got the idea?